Man, it's a massive privilege to be with you guys today. I'm glad that we're able to get together. I know this is a little unconventional, but if you're part of One Harbor in the old days, this would have felt really normal, actually. Meeting in a building would have felt strange. This feels more like our roots, but we're really glad to get a chance to be together. I'm just going to talk for a few minutes because I know it's going to get hotter, and I know we have lots going on, but I just want to take a couple minutes to encourage us. Our town has been hit, our town has been hit harder than in my lifetime, and we're a church that loves this town. We love this town deeply, and I know that we're going to come back stronger. I know that we're going to come back better, but I also know that right now it really hurts, and it's really hard, and I know that right now it's going to take a long time. Many people in our immediate church family here have lost everything. In fact, if that's you, if you've lost everything or a significant amount of what you own, would you mind just raising your hands just so we can know who you are? Keep your hands up if you lost everything. People in our church family who've lost everything they have. A lot of people in our church family are only now just getting the chance to look at their own homes, their own property, because they've spent every waking moment since the storm serving our community as first responders and linemen. If that's you, would you mind raising your hand, please, if you served as a first responder through the storm? Don't be shy. I see all y'all. Some people in our family here still don't have power. It's been right at 10 days, and some people here still don't have power. In fact, if that's you, would you mind raising your hand? Nice and high. Amanda, you can't see Mike and Beth over here. Anybody else still don't have power? Folks, if you're behind us. There's a lot of stuff to grieve and to mourn, but there's a lot of stuff to celebrate. There was an incredible surge of servant-heartedness and volunteerism and donations coming through this week. If you this week served by either giving or by bringing supplies or by serving in volunteer teams, would you mind raising your hand? I want to update you guys just on a couple of things in case you've been out of the loop this week or just getting back. We got going as soon as the storm lifted, barely enough for us to actually drive vehicles and get out there. Crews of us were cutting our way to each other and helping clear roads. And then we began the work of taking trees off people's cars and homes and began putting tarps on roofs as soon as the wind would allow us. We began already gutting homes. We've turned our Moorhead building here into really a disaster recovery command center. And we've moved from really feeling very chaotic to seeing just organization come as people in our church have used their gifts. Sorry, I'm making a big mess here already. We've turned our building into a command post, we have begun to work with other churches in the area. We've sent tons of supplies down east. We're ourselves receiving tarps and water and things like that as we go out and send work crews throughout the day. It's been an incredible week, and I've been incredibly proud to be part of this church. I'm always proud, but it's been an amazing week. One tension I just want to run to quickly is we just finished a series on rest. It was like this beautiful, like, let's all just sort of, you know, drinks with umbrellas. It's going to be great. And then this happens. And there's actually a Bible verse for this. I'll read it to you. It's Luke 14. It says, one Sabbath, one rest day, the day when God's people were supposed to rest, they weren't supposed to do any work at all. This is what happens. They were at this house. They were eating at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees. The Pharisees were kind of, you know, they loved a lot of rules. They took pride in their rule-keeping, and they were always looking at Jesus trying to see if he was going to break a rule. And so they were eating there together, and they were watching Jesus carefully. And behold, there was a man before them who had this disease called dropsy. And Jesus responded to the lawyers and Pharisees saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? Somebody before us right now who needs healing, is it legal for me to do this or not? Jesus asked. And they remained silent. He took him and he healed him. He sent him away. And then Jesus said to them, which of you, having a son or even an ox that has fallen to a well on the Sabbath, will not immediately pull them out. Your kid falls into a well on the Sabbath, you're not like, I'd love to help you, it's the Sabbath. We'll be back tomorrow morning, first thing, hang tight, you know? No, he says you'll immediately jump in there, right? Just because you're meant to rest in this moment doesn't mean that if something, like an emergency happens, we don't all jump in and begin to help. And they could not reply to these things. Rest is extremely important, and we want to pace ourselves. We're in this for a very long time, but there are times when you jump in the ditch and you pull your son out. And right now, there are people in our community who need us to jump in the ditch and help them. This is a moment to serve our community in ways that we rarely get a chance to do. I've been through my fair share of hurricanes growing up here, but this one was unique, and this one has taught me a lot of things and reminded me of things I'd forgotten, and I just want to take a few moments to share with you some things that I think are helpful for us to learn when we face storms like this. Number one, storms bring out the best in us. Right? How many of you guys found yourself being the superhero version of yourself? Like you were less honorary. You were, you know, your medulla oblongata was better. Like you were kind. You were generous. Anybody else find themselves like servant-hearted? You can raise your hands. It's all right. It's kind of like a game. Yeah, there we go. We became a better version of ourselves through moments like this. It's incredible. We find stuff that God put in us that will never actually come out unless a storm brings it out of us. It remains dormant until we get an opportunity like this where we actually have to be this version of ourselves that we kind of wish we always were. Another thing storms do, though, is they bring out the worst in us. Man, I got cranky. I got ornery. I lashed out at people that I care about. I found myself being impatient and selfish and bitter and unkind. And I'm not proud of that, and I shouldn't be. And then there were other people in our community who use this opportunity to be a blessing as an opportunity to be a jerk. And that's nothing to be proud of. I saw people holding signs, heaping insults on the linemen who had traveled, many of them from far away, left their family and friends to come here to help us restore power. And people held signs to insult them. That's nothing to be proud of. Heard stories of other people breaking into businesses and homes under the cover of darkness while people had fled for their lives to take what was not theirs. That's nothing to be proud of. Some of us would have easily said that Jesus was the God that we worship, but we found out actually it was electricity. That we could do everything as long as we had electricity. And then it was taken from us. If you're like me and this hurricane brought stuff out in you that you're not proud of, we don't get to blame the hurricane. I wish we did. Hurricane Florence maybe do it. Would be really great to say, but it's not true. It's not true. See, storms don't make us worse people. They actually reveal what's going on in our hearts all the time. Storms give us a really unique chance to see stuff that we wish we didn't see, but it's there. It's under the surface. And these aren't moments where we can blame it on the storm. These aren't moments where we should just make excuses for it. These are moments where we should own that stuff, repent of that stuff, ask God to help us. So these storms bring out the best in us. They bring out the worst in us. Something else storms do, like hurricanes, they bring us together. I found myself immediately, day one, morning one, working with people I'd never met as if we had been best friends forever. I found myself working with people that I hadn't been around in a long time for various reasons. It's incredible. You know what happened earlier this week is almost all of the churches in Moorhead, all the leaders got together and we sat together in the same room and we prayed together and we cried together and we shared what each of us are trying to do. We met together. It took a hurricane, but we met together. Wow. Which is a pretty beautiful, amazing thing. What changed? How do we so quickly do this? How do we so quickly get together like this? How do we so quickly work together like this? See, what I think happens is I think pettiness, the things that keep us, you know, from really doing this stuff all the time, pettiness thrives in peacetime. When there's no war, when there's no storm, we fall into pettiness. And in moments like this, we get a chance to push aside all that stuff that usually keeps us from working together and find that actually we have more in common than we think. That's incredible. That's an incredible gift. And I think the challenge is going to be for us to remember that once this storm is over. Another thing is storms remind us of what's really important. We've all been without TV and Netflix and, you know, all kinds of stuff that we usually waste time on. A lot of us have had our possessions destroyed. You know what? We're doing okay. In fact, I'm doing better because I don't have Netflix in my life than I was before. It's amazing how much time and energy we spend on things that don't matter. Storms remind us of what's really important. People were calling, offering, could they send us money? The truth is, we couldn't have spent it if they sent it to us. There's nothing we could do with it. Our money meant nothing. It's a really odd place to be in it. At times it felt like, early days, it felt like a zombie apocalypse. There was just nothing. It was just nothing. There was nothing we could do. And actually, in those moments, we get to realize what's actually really important. Culture says it's stuff. Culture says it's money. Culture says it's what neighborhood you live in. None of that stuff actually matters. One last thing I think needs to be mentioned. It's easy in a storm, I think, to begin to, and maybe you've already done some of this, to begin to hope in the wrong things and think these things are the right things. I think the best thing that hurricanes do, that storms do, that trials do, is they give us an opportunity to see Jesus come through. You know, one thing that we know that will never happen, Jesus will never evacuate. He's not going anywhere. He's with us. And there's another Bible story where we see this really clear. In Mark 4:35, evening had come, and he said to them, "Let us go across the other side." Isn't it crazy how hurricanes always hit at night? Like, what is the story with that? This is the same situation here. It's dark. I mean, a hurricane is one thing to put up with, but when it's dark and trees are cracking and things like that, it's another animal. When it's dark and the water's rising, it's another. When it's dark and water's pouring in through your roof and you can't quite see where and you don't know how to stop it, it's another thing, right? Yeah. It says, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose. And waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he woke and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obeys him?" So these disciples are the guys who should have. They should have been the ones going, "Guys, we're going to be fine. Jesus has got us. We've seen him do some crazy stuff firsthand." But in that moment, fear took over. Fear is a real emotion. It's a real feeling. Fear took over. And in that moment, fear got the best of them. And they began to doubt Jesus' love. "Don't you care? Jesus' ability? Jesus, why are you asleep? Don't you care? Are you powerless?" And we can begin to do that. But then what happens is, Jesus wakes up, and what Jesus doesn't say, this is where I want you just to lean in and listen a little bit, especially if you're like me and you're from here. Jesus doesn't lean in and say, "Guys, all you had to do was just work together and everything would have been fine." That would have sounded good, but that wouldn't have been enough. They could have worked together and they still would have died. They still would have perished. It's easy for us to think that working together is all we need to do. We do need to work together, but it's not all we need. Actually, what they needed is what none of them had. They needed God to be God. They needed Jesus to speak to the storm. And that's something that none of them could have done. All the working together in the world couldn't have brought that. And see, some of us need to know that Jesus is with us. He was with us. He is with us. He will be with us. Jesus is not, if you're here and you've lost everything or you've lost a lot, Jesus is not just with you when you cut the ribbon on the new place and it's all back together and we get to say, "Look what Jesus did." That's when we like to say, "Look what Jesus did," but actually right now, Jesus is with you. He's with you right now when it's a mess. Right now when your ceiling's falling in and everything's gone and there's no toys for your kids and you don't know what you're going to do. Right now, when the insurance company hasn't called you back yet or no one's visited yet, right now, Jesus is with you. And he wants to be just as with you right now as he will be with you then. And nobody wakes up in the morning and goes, "I'm going to try this in my own strength." We all say we're trusting Jesus, but are we really? Jesus is with you right now. And some of us need to know that what we really need most of all is Jesus. I love our town. I love the way we rally together. But my hope and our hope cannot be in Carter County's ability to rally together. Our hope is in Jesus, who is with us. Jesus, who can do what none of us can do. You know, we can put tarps on roof, we can gut houses, we can't fix the brokenness and the sorrow in people's souls. We can't do that, but Jesus can. We can't see our way out of this, but Jesus can. Jesus can do what none of us together can do. So we do need to work together, but most of all, we need Jesus. We need Jesus to do what only Jesus can do. You know what? We're going to get tired. I'm hurting. Like, I could be the sponsor for like a commercial on ibuprofen. I am sore. I'm hurting. I can hardly walk. I'm tired. I'm sleepy. But we serve a God who neither sleeps nor slumbers. I know of some needs in our community. I've seen some tears. I've held some people. But we serve a Jesus who knows what everyone's feeling all the time and says he wants to wipe every tear from their eyes. Amen. He has a plan for us. And in the meantime, he cares for us. And he's with us. So don't put your ultimate hope in our community. Don't put your ultimate hope in us working together. Put your ultimate hope in Jesus. As we look to respond, I want to say that some of you are here and you think you're here to be together, but actually God brought you here because he wants to be with you. He wants to meet with you. And trauma is a real thing. And as a community, we've experienced trauma. Various levels of trauma, actually. There's the I lost everything trauma, which is real easy to put your finger on. There's the I lost some things trauma. And so we want to say, but I didn't lose so much, so I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay. But actually, we're hurting, we're grieving, we're scared, we're worried. There's the I didn't lose anything trauma, where you feel guilty, you're embarrassed, you feel that sense of survivor's guilt. All of that stuff matters. All that stuff's real. And God wants to meet with you in all of those places. I met with a couple this week who lost everything, and they were way too positive about it. Christians aren't just Christians because we smile all the time. We serve a Jesus who wept publicly. We read a Bible that has a whole book called Lamentations, a book about lamenting. Read the Psalms. It's not Christian to ignore your emotions. It's Christian to embrace them and take them to a God who cares. And if you're here this morning and you're hurting, we don't need to hear, I lost everything, that's why I'm hurting. So that makes total sense. Hurting for whatever reason, we want to pray with you because God wants to meet you right where you are. At the end, you can walk in those doors. It's air conditioned. It's nice. Have a team of friendly people who aren't weird. There's no snakes. Just people who love you and love Jesus and would love to pray for you. God doesn't want you to suck it up. God doesn't want you just to grin and bear it, put your shoulder down, get through it. God wants you to trust in him. God wants you to show, God wants to show you his love for you and his care for you right in the middle of this mess. And yes, God will get you through it, but he's with you in the meantime too. And lastly, as we look to serve other people, I want to encourage you. This week, we've been reminded about how this kind of stuff, what needs to happen in our community, is more than physical. It's spiritual. It's emotional. People have come into the office and said, a tree fell through my house. I got some mold. Who can help me? And someone says, how are you doing? And they just start weeping. The bigger stuff going on is not tree on house, mold in house. The bigger stuff is how you're doing. And so don't, as you go out to serve, don't just say, what can I do? Say, how are you doing? And then in that moment, don't be typical Christians who are like, let me throw a Bible verse at this. Let me throw a Bible verse at this. Actually lament, grieve, weep. Pray, but don't feel this need to offer a bunch of pithy little inspirational poster sayings at people. Just grieve with them and tell them Jesus is with them. I encourage you today, if you've already got a lot of your stuff taken care of, to grab a rake and just walk around your neighborhood. Just say, hey, how you doing? How can I help? And listen and love people and pray for them. This week, there's no school, which as a parent is a challenge. So let's leverage it. Let's find a way to leverage it as an opportunity. We're going to have work opportunities of all kinds, shapes, and sizes. Every day this week, we're going to meet right here at 9 a.m. We'd love to have you. We'll find something for you. We'll make something up for you to do. We'll find a way, right? Next Saturday, we'll get to in just a second, is a work day. Next Sunday, we're planning to have regular services in here again. Listen, our kids' ministry experienced a little bit of flooding. We're having a hard time finding some carpet. Just a little heads up, worst case scenario, there's not going to be like this perfect carpet in the rooms. Guess what? People all around the world meet under trees every Sunday, and they're doing just fine, and we'll be okay, and it'll be great. So, right, so it'll be fine. We'll meet. The plan is to meet next Sunday, and I will let you know if something like that doesn't happen. We are running a marathon, not a sprint. Don't burn yourself out. We're not going to run at this pace all the time. We're going to all have to get back to work eventually, and help is on the way. In fact, a lot of help is already here. Rex and JJ, where are you guys at? In the back there is Rex and JJ. They're a couple of pastors from Frontline Church in Oklahoma City. Oklahoma experienced a massive tornado a few years ago that destroyed a town called Moore, Oklahoma. Frontline responded just with incredible excellence. And so they're going to be sending out teams for the next 3 weeks to help us learn from what they did so we can pace ourselves and we can get through this. Reach Global, where are you guys? If you're here from Reach Global, a couple guys around. Reach Global. They helped tremendously through Hurricane Katrina, Hurricane Harvey. They've sent teams out here all week. They're preparing themselves for the long haul with us, be it 6 months or 2 years. They're going to be working with us. Josh and Erica, where are you guys at? Right here. So this couple, they were the first wedding I ever did, and they're still together. And so I did not know what I was doing. So it's the grace of God on that one. And I was also their wedding coordinator. And it was a military wedding, so it wasn't complicated at all. It was great. But Josh and Erica live down in Texas now, and they helped a lot with Hurricane Harvey, and they've just gotten in town. They packed up and moved up here to help us for a season. It's just incredible to see help coming from all different angles. People are giving. I mean, I met a guy in the parking lot yesterday. He pulled into town from Maryland. Brought us big dehumidifiers and carpet fans and said, here's a check for $10,000. There's more money coming. You guys keep at it. Like, that kind of stuff is happening. We're not alone. God is sending people to help us. It's incredible. Many of you guys are knowing what you can give, what you can do. There's a lot of information about that. You got that sheet with the songs on it. There's a page dedicated to telling you updated what we need. And then if you have any more questions or if you brought like tarps and stuff with you today, come over to that table and let those guys know. We're trying to keep inventory of all these things. We got a lot going on, but God is with us in it.